Living on Many Dimensions. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, School of the Master, Absolute Monastery, and a bunch of other stuff here in Campo, California, bringing you thought for today. Living on Many Dimensions. In August 12th, 2005, I had a serendipity which was called Living on Many Dimensions. And says, I live on many dimensions, but I pay attention to this level of consciousness, one dimension at a time, and I am myself and I have fun. Many of us are facing difficult times. We're facing times where we're waking up to realize that life's not a lot of fun. In fact, it's not fun at all. It's a real bore, and it's a real drag, and it's really unpleasant. And it's about time that we wake up and see that life is just a miserable thing. Because that's what life is if you look at yourself and are unable to see God. If you look at yourself and you're unable to see the divine in you, if you look in the mirror and you don't say, I see God there, then life should be miserable for you. Because who is it that you're looking at from the mirror? Who is it that you're seeing in the mirror? Are you seeing your name person? Or are you seeing your divine person? Are you seeing you as the, not the potential, but the unlimited expressed, you know? Mm-hmm. Or are you seeing yourself as something that wants to be or wants to express itself? Do you want to dash off to live on other dimensions? Every suicide, every death that is a suicide. Every person who dies commits suicide because they could live another second longer, you know, or another minute, another hour, another year, another whole bit, a lot of time. But we choose to go by our choice. And suicide does not mean something terrible. It just means that it's our choice. Everything is our choice in life. Now, why would anyone want to rush off to the next dimension if they hadn't made a good thing out of this dimension? Why would anybody want to go to the next dimension, which is surely a lot of fun too, but if they haven't found fun in this dimension? It's so silly. Because on this dimension is all the fun that we could ever find in the entire universe. On this dimension is all the happiness we could ever know. On this dimension is all the fulfillment of everything our heart could ever desire right now, on this dimension. But if we don't open our eyes to it, then we don't see it. Now, up in the morning, out on the job, I work for my pay. But that lucky old son, he's got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Hey, 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 think about it. Up in the morning, I'm a happy guy, a rolling round heaven all day. As I look to the sky, I look by and by, I see everything my way. Oh, ho, ho, I'm happy in everything I do. I'm happy, can't it be true? I'm happy, I never am blue. Oh, I am happy, and I would do. Do it now, do it now. Be the person you want to be now. Wait until tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes, and you'll never be a happy person tomorrow if you haven't been one today. So, be a happy person today. Live in the now. If we are going to look for living in other dimensions, if we're going to look for death to part us from our sorrows and our unhappinesses. I had one of my students call me up and ask me a very miserable question. He's in prison, and he heard that one of our students died, and he was concerned. And he says, I talked to her a couple times, and she said, I love you, to me a couple times, and she's a very nice lady. Why did she die? And I said, because she chose to. And he said, well, now, what do we do about grief? He says, I deal with people here in prison who suffer grief in members of their family and they can't go to the funerals and things like that. You know, well, what do we do about that? And I said, well, grief is just feeling sorry for yourself. If you love yourself so much, you will do everything in your life to have a happy life, to have a fulfilled life, to just be doing everything wonderful. And if another person, like your mother or your sister or your brother or your dad or your uncle, or your wife or husband or your children or anybody close to you die, you say, "Hi, that was nice to have you here for a while. Sorry to see you go. Enjoy your company, but have fun doing whatever you're going to do." And what's that to you? What's that to me? Whatever another person does is their business. They're not going to say, now, your mama, for instance, she's dying of cancer. She says, "Well, sweetheart, I'm dying of cancer, and it doesn't feel very good at all. And so I want to die and get it over with. I don't want to drag this thing out." And you say, "Mom, you got two choices. You can live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, or you can die in an old, mixed-up body that hasn't quite found what it wanted to do. Now, what do you want to do?" "I don't have a choice like that," Mom would say to us. "Yes, you do." And Mom would say, "Well, I'm tired. I want to go." "Okay, go." So Mom pulls the cork, and off she goes to her next dimension. And we don't see her anymore. And we say, "Gee, I miss the old lady, you know. She's a nice old girl. And she and I had lots of good talks together. We had a lot of fun together. And now she's gone off to that other dimension. She didn't even ask me for permission to go." Well, of course, it's not our permission to give it, is it? We have not the right to give anyone permission to live or die. We give them the permission to do it themselves, but it's not our permission, it's their permission. And so if someone says, "You're holding me," you know, "I am not. I just am enjoying you. I'm loving you. I'm loving your attention, your presence. Now, if you want to go, go," you know. And you know, every person who has been very close to me, and I've had many people very close to me, and who passed on, and who moved on to their next dimensions, and not one single tear did I shed over them. Not one single tear. I blessed them, and I wished them well on the journey, and I immediately went on with my life. Immediately. I did not cry one tear. And the reason I didn't cry a tear is because I released them and let them go, and they went, you know. Now, will I ever see them again? If I want to. Will I ever really see them again? No. Because if they're off to another dimension, you can be sure they're living in another consciousness, in another type of form, in another type of beingness. It's not going to be a beingness that we recognize here. It's a beingness that is quite different now. But again, if you wish, you're the creator of your world. You can create yourself being with them on this other dimension and seeing them waiting for you, waiting till you come. Now, are you going to cause them to live on this other dimension like a couple of old people like they were living here when they left here? You know? Are you going to cause them to be on this other dimension and when they die, they're going to have the crippled experience that they had when they were dying? You know, they crashed, all, you know. You know, I watched the movie Cocoon, and I thought to myself, how sad, how very sad that the authors had to be so totally human. The young man, the old man, who was in Cocoon, who jumped in the pool, and he had, what did he have? He had something that went into remission.
He had cancer.
Well, he had cancer which went into remission. And the cancer not only went into remission, it was completely, completely, completely gone, not in his body in the slightest. And yet, when he came back from the other planet, being on Earth only a few days, the cancer came back. Now, did the cancer come back because he was in the environment that the cancer started with in the first place? Was he in the attitude that the cancer would come back? If he were in the attitude of remission and totally healed from it, then he would have that attitude in his mind. Mm-hmm. Now, why would he want to have the attitude of cancer in his mind? Because he did not feel worthy. He did not feel that he was a good man. He did not feel that he deserved to be free of cancer. He did not feel that he was free to do these things because he felt so good when his body was whole and perfect. just reminded me so of JJ, you know. And he felt so good when his body was in this perfect state. Now, why couldn't the writers have written that that had nothing to do with it? That he decided to stay because his wife wanted to stay. Not he decided to stay because he's going to die anyhow, you know. Or that he could live up there without her, whatever. Why didn't they have him just stay and live in a healthy body and stay, you know? Because that would have made that choice all the more beautiful, because he did it in love for his wife and in love to be with her and in whatever time they had together. But in his perfect body, he came back with a perfect body. And they didn't come down with bodies that were bothersome. In fact, what did the normal people of that planet do? They had a cover hole. They had a skin body that they put over their frame, and so they looked like a human being. Interesting, isn't it? Huh. Fantastic. Stop and think about these things, that living in many dimensions. You are. We are. We're living on many dimensions right now, and we're living fully and completely on many dimensions. And there is no way, if I may say this at this moment, there is no way that you will ever go to another dimension, because you're already there on every dimension. There's no way you're going to go to another dimension, even if we talk like that occasionally to make it sound a little nicer, because you are already on every dimension. And you are already on no dimension. Mm-hmm. You are in the allness and you're in the nothingness.
Yeah.
And there we are again. And isn't that fun? Now think of those things and remember that you're living on many dimensions. And on the many dimensions, you're living on the many levels of your consciousness, on the many levels of your beingness. Sylvie just showed me a picture of herself when she was 19 or something like that. And when was it?
It was about 20 years ago.
Maybe, give a year.
Maybe 15 years ago.
Give a year. This is 6, so that's 1990. 1991. So it had a picture of her, 1991, and she didn't have that beautiful gray hair she has today, and she didn't have the cheeks that were full of delicious food that she has today. You know, she had that perfect
baby face.
Yeah.
Yeah, face.
Which she still has today. But the thing is, those are just all sort of memory things that have no place in our life. How do you visualize yourself? In reading the life and teachings of the Master of the Far East, how do you think Emile's mother visualized herself? Really, how do you think she visualized? Do you think she visualized herself as his mother, as an older woman, as a woman who was in her 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, and she was probably several thousand years old. But how do you think she visualized? She visualized herself like a young prima donna. You bet your life she did. Why not? Why not? And how do you think Emil visualized himself? He may have visualized himself however Baird Spaulding needed to see him, but Baird Spaulding didn't need to see him anyway. When Jesus came into the picture, how do you think Jesus looked? Do you think he looked just like all the artist's paintings of him? Or do you think he looked like a very contemporary being, you know? You see, these are the games we play. Now, you and I have the privilege on this dimension of living in any body that we wish, in any form that we wish, in any condition that we wish, and the way that we do that is by having that be our only thought. Now, one student said to me this morning, I get so tired of saying the same affirmation over and over and over again, over and over and over and over again. And I was thinking, as I was walking the path saying my affirmations, I was thinking, the affirmations are my subconscious mind. They are so in my subconscious mind that that's what I build all of my thoughts upon. All of my world is built upon those affirmations that I have tucked away in my subconscious mind. And while I'm speaking my affirmations, while I'm walking the path, I have many other thoughts in my mind. and many other very real thoughts. Like I think I'm independently wealthy, and I'm thinking, yep, being independently wealthy, what would I do with that money? What would I enjoy doing? You know, would I like to travel? I travel already. Would I like to do this or that or the other thing? Would I like to do something nice for Mark, you know? Would I like to make a nice place for him to have his business? Would I like to, you know, like, I'd like to pave all of our roads here, you know, with blacktop, you know, or concrete, and then put a strip directly from our property straight out to Shockey Truck Trail there, you know, going straight down between all these other little properties. And if the people didn't want to sell me a part of their property to put the road down, I'd buy the property, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're independently wealthy, you can do those things. Now, would that be a problem? Never. And would those people love it? Yes. Would they have access to our road? No. Our road would be individual for our use only. And it would be bringing people from the road up to our place. And the post office would deliver at the end of the road up at our house, because we have five addresses here. Actually, we have more. But see, this way we would have that beautiful, wonderful road that the people could never complain about, because it would be so perfect and so beautiful. And then I would create on that road, being independently wealthy, I would create on that road, any person who drives at the beginning of the road is at the end of the road instantly. Mm-hmm. There's no time in traveling from the beginning to the end, and no speed limit, because they're just there. And when they're at the outer part, the outer gate, they come through like our normal gate, you know, press the button and be let in, and then there's no inner gate. They just come right on in because they've already been passed. Come on through and come into the property and enjoy the property with us, and it's wonderful. And then for Ingeborg, especially, we'd have a special cover for the pool up here. It would go like this, wide open. So in the summer days, you have it wide open. Winter days, you have it closed. And the pool is always heated at a perfect temperature up there and ideal, you know. Not a bad idea, huh? So these are just little things for being independent. See, that's what you think about when you're making your affirmations, I'm independently wealthy. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. What do you think about? You're on many dimensions as you're thinking about these things. What is your ideal spirit, mind, and body? The old fat tub you're carrying around? Or the, or the skinny tub you're carrying around? Or who? What is it? You know? You know? It's interesting. You know, you look at these people who take drugs, and they're skinny. They have the figure that many people would love to have. But they also have a few problems. But aside from all of that, we are always living in many dimensions. And we might as well make our affirmations as our foundation and then live on the dimensions based on that foundation of living in a fabulous, fabulous, wonderful life. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you, love you, love you.